I'm inspired to call you because of my interest in old tales about Cave and Rock being host to bandits on the Ohio River. And I was delighted to see that you have a publication titled Going to See the Varmint, Piracy and Myth and Reality on the Ohio and Mississippi Rivers.
That title of that article comes from the old movie How the West Was Won, back in the early 1960s, in which Jimmy Stewart played a mountain man traveling down the Ohio, and there was a family of travelers, and also going down the Ohio River with him, one of whom I think was Carol Baker. Anyway, they stopped at Cave and Rock in the movie. And actually, parts of that movie were filmed here. They weren't filmed at Cave and Rock, but they were filmed at a nearby location called Battery Rock. When Jimmy Stewart arrived at the cave, there was a group of pirates who lived there, headed by Walter Brennan. What they do is they lure people into the cave by claiming that they have a varmint in the back of the cave that no one has ever seen before, and they want people to go back and help them identify it. And when they go back there, they end up robbing them and killing them. And so that's where the title of the article came from.
So who were the real bad guys in history?
Walter Brennan, who played in that movie, is very obviously based on a real pirate in the lower Ohio River Valley named Samuel Mason. There are a lot of stories about pirates at Cave and Rock, but the only one we know for sure is Samuel Mason, and he was there in 1797. He was a Revolutionary War officer, originally from Pennsylvania. He fought in the backcountry against the Indians, but he was always a bad guy. Even in the 1770s, he made the Upper Ohio Valley, he got into enough trouble up there that he had to leave, and he came down. First, he went over to Tennessee, where Knoxville is. He got run out of Knoxville for robbing people. And he finally ended up at Henderson, Kentucky, which was then called Red Banks, on the Ohio River. And within a few years, he was doing the same thing. He had family members with him, and then he had a group of outlaws with him, and they were robbing people on the Ohio. The reports of his behavior got so bad that the state of Kentucky sent a constable there to try to rein in his activities, and he and his gang ended up killing the constable. They were chased out of Red Banks by a group of regulators, or a posse, and they ended up down at Cave and Rock in 1797 for about 6 months. So you actually have a real pirate who was down there at Cave and Rock, but he was only there for about 6 months. And the reason is that if you've ever been to Cave and Rock, even though it's a backwater today in an isolated area, the Ohio River during the late 1700s and the early 1800s was really an interstate highway. Thousands of boats were going down that river every year. If you're an outlaw like Mason, you do not want to be at a permanent location like that where everybody stops. And everybody did stop at Cave and Rock. If he had robbed somebody at Cave and Rock and they had managed to get to the authorities in Kentucky or Illinois and said, I was robbed by Samuel Mason at Cave and Rock, he would have been easy to find. What he actually did, he and his family would move around through the woods, and they'd occupy different camps in the woods. And then they would attack flatboats coming down the river, and they would rob them. By around 1800, he made the lower Ohio too hot for himself, and he and his family drifted down into the Mississippi River Valley into what is Arkansas today. And that's how come we know so much about him, because he set up shop in Arkansas and started doing the same thing, robbing boats on the Mississippi. And he was actually captured down there. And the Spanish had a three-day inquest to determine whether or not he really was a pirate. And that trial transcript still survives. It's in the Mississippi Department of Archives. And it's the only really detailed account we have of piracy on the Ohio and Mississippi River. The Spanish were interested in finding out if he really was a pirate. He just claimed to be an old farmer, that he didn't know why everybody was picking on him. And all he wanted to do was settle out and Arkansas with his family and just go to farming. But when the Spanish went through his luggage, they found $7,000 in American banknotes, currency. And they asked him, is this your money? And he said, well, let me ask you a question first. Is it illegal to have counterfeit American money in Spanish territory? And they said, no, we don't think so. And he said, okay, so that's my money. So he had counterfeit money with him. But the thing that convinced the Spanish he was a pirate, when they went through his baggage, they found 20 human scalps his luggage. So not only was he killing people on the river, he was scalping them. And so they sent him down to New Orleans for trial. He and his family arrived down there just as the Louisiana Purchase was going through. And the Spanish governor said, I have no time for this. And he said most of his crimes seemed to have been committed on the American side of the river. Send him back up to Mississippi and let him try him there. So they sent him back up the river, and just before they got to Greenville, Mississippi, he and another gang member managed to get their hands on a gun somehow. And they killed the Spanish officer who was in charge, and they went over the side of the boat. As they did, Mason was shot in the head, but he was still alive. They disappeared into the woods. It caused a big uproar on both the Spanish and American sides of the river, and they issued reward posters for him. About 3 days later, one of his gang members, well, two of his gang members, brought his head in to claim the reward. It's unclear whether or not he died from his wound, and then they just cut his head off, or whether they actually killed him and cut his head off, but they brought his head in to claim the reward. They were recognized as two of the pirates. They ended up getting put on trial for piracy. They were hung down in Greenville, Mississippi, I think it was 1804, as pirates. The reason we know so much about that is that at that time, the western side of the river was Spanish territory, so you have papers. James Madison was Secretary of State at that time, and there are references to Mason and these pirates being put on trial down there. So we know all this stuff actually happened.
What a tale.
Because of that trial transcript, you get a lot of information on their methods and how they operated. They would do things like go on to boats and pretend to be interested in buying things, and then they would rob the people on the boat. During the trial, he and another one of his gang members named John Sutton turned on each other, and each testified against the other one. And Sutton was saying, well, you know, Mason would capture these boats, then he would kill the whole crew, then he would sink the boat in the river so nobody would find out about it. And then Mason accused Sutton of doing the same sort of things. And but there was one incident where there was a boat going down the river with a cargo of weapons, and they pretended to be interested in buying the guns. Whoever the unfortunate captain was, he showed them the guns, and then they turned the guns on him and captured his boat. But Mason also had a network of people farther down the river in other towns. And so they would take these boats, and they would apparently, in most cases, kill the crew or they'd strand the crew. But then they would take the boats and their cargoes down to places like Natchez where there were crooked merchants, and they would sell everything off for about a third of its cost. So they had a whole network of people that were involved with them. It wasn't just him on his own. And his whole story would sound pretty unbelievable except for the fact that this trial transcript survives. So we have a great deal of information about him. He seems to have been the worst pirate on the Ohio and Mississippi. There were other accounts of boats being robbed, but nobody operates on as big a scale as he did. So most of all those accounts, when you read about them, about Cave and Rock, they all seem to involve him. Even though he was only there in 1797, the story got wide play in the newspapers at the time. And so when you read travelers' accounts, up until about 1820, people going down the Ohio, and when you read their diaries, they're all concerned about running into bandits at Cave and Rock, and they always mention Mason by name because they'd read these stories. Of course, they get down there, and there's nobody there. But he seems to be the source of all these pirate legends. And after about 1820, he fades away from local memory, and people forget about him. But then this whole story about pirates keeps going on. And so all through the 1800s, when you read it like flatboat travelers' accounts, maybe even into the 1830s, so when they get to Cave and Rock, they go up there like all armed, expecting to run into pirates, and they never run into anybody.
Interesting how an individual can set up such powerful juju for a place.
Yeah, I think he was probably a very intelligent man, very charismatic, very deadly. His personality comes across very strongly when you read the trial transcript, when the Spanish are interviewing him. He also was apparently very capable of organizing this network of accomplices all through the Mississippi River Valley that he could sell these goods off to. They were after horses. They were after slaves, kidnapping American, African Americans that they could sell guns, merchandise on these boats.
Well, Dr. Wagner, you have told a great story. Thank you very much for telling it
to me. You're welcome.